Hello, hello everybody. Hope you're well. Welcome to another edition of The Stories We Tell. With me, Mridula, or Ruby as you know me. And today I want to dedicate this story to one of my favorite little girls in the whole wide world. And her name is Anika Chauhan. So Anika, on your 9th birthday today, I would like to dedicate this story to you. I thought long and hard about what I should read for you because you're so wise and so clever. And as we spoke a few minutes before, you are going to go and conquer the world, I know. So I wondered and I thought, what should I tell you? And then, of course, it all came back to my favorite storyteller, Ruskin Bond, who you know I love so much, and I know you love so much when you read stories with Rusty, with Mummy. So I'm going to read you a story from the collection called At School with Ruskin Bond. And I'm going to read you his introduction first, which goes something like this. Some of us hated school, some of us loved it. Others just took it for granted. But years later, when we looked back at our school days, we did so with a certain nostalgia, affection for that time of our young lives when we experienced friendship, sport, interesting or even inspiring teachers, and we remembered the fun we had while taking part in school plays or concerts, discovering books and music, planning for our holidays, saving our pocket money for cricket bats or the cinema. Today, kids save up for PlayStations, laptops, or the latest in all kinds of phones. There will always be something new to save for. And of course, holidays are always around the corner. You can go river rafting or hiking, or you can stay at home and explore the internet, or just curl up with a good book. Some of these stories are such as the Runji tales, were written when I was in my 20s. They were written in my, and I can't read that word now. Sorry. I've been scribbling away for over 50 years. The stories and poems have been illuminated by the delightful illustrations of that master artist, Atomo Roy. As a result, I shall treasure my copy. I hope you will too. Ruskin Bond, Landour, Missouri. So my dear Anika, I wish you a wonderful birthday and a beautiful year ahead. I hope you can conquer the world and reach for the stars. And I hope that the lessons that come out of this story that I'm about to read for you are something you will hold close to your heart and always, always remember. All my love. Mwah. Here goes. Runji's wonderful bat. "How's that?" shouted the wicket-keeper, holding the ball up in his gloves. "How's that?" echoed the slip-fielders. "How?" growled the fast bowler, glaring at the umpire. "Out!" said the umpire. And Suraj, the captain of the school team, walked slowly back to the pavilion, which was really a tool shed at the end of the field. The score stood at 53 for 4 wickets. Another 60 runs had to be made for victory, and only one good batsman remained. All the rest were bowlers who couldn't be expected to make many runs. It was Runji's turn to bat. He was the youngest member of the team, only 11, but sturdy and full of pluck. As he walked briskly to the wicket, his unruly black hair was blown about by a cool breeze that came down from the hills. Ranji had a good eye and strong wrists and had made lots of runs in some of the minor matches. But in the last two inter-school games, his scores had been poor, the highest being 12 runs. Now he was determined to make enough runs to take his side to victory. Ranji took his guard and prepared to face the bowler. The fielders moved closer in anticipation of another catch. The tall, fast bowler scowled and began his long run. His arm whirled and the hard, shiny red ball came hurling towards Ranji. Ranji was going to lunge forward and play the ball back to the bowler, but at the last moment he changed his mind and stepped back, intending to push the ball through the ring of fielders on his right or offside. The ball swung in the air, shot off the grass and came through sharply to strike Ranji on his pads. "How's that?" screamed the bowler, hopping about like a kangaroo. "How?" shouted the wicketkeeper. "How?" asked all the fielders. The umpire slowly raised a finger. "Out," he said. And it was Ranji's turn to walk back to the tool shed. The match was won by the visiting team. "Never mind," said Suraj, patting Ranji on the back. "You'll do better next time. You're just out of form just now, that's all." But their cricket coach was sterner. "You'll have to make more runs in the next game," he warned Ranji, "or you'll lose your place in the side." Avoiding the other players, Ranji walked slowly homewards, his head down, his hands in his pockets. He was very upset. He had been trying so hard and practicing regularly. But when an important game came along, he failed to make a big score. It seemed that there was nothing he could do about it. But he loved playing cricket and he couldn't bear the thought of being out of the school team. On his way home, he had to pass the clock tower. He often stopped at Mr. Kumar's sports shop to chat with the owner or to look at all the things on the shelves, footballs, cricket balls, badminton rackets, hockey sticks, balls of various shapes and sizes. It was a wonderland where Ranji usually liked to linger. But this one day, he didn't feel like stopping. He looked the other way and was about to cross the road when Mr. Kumar's voice stopped. "Hello, Ranji. Off in a hurry today? And why are you looking so sad?" So Ranji had to stop and say namaste. He couldn't ignore Mr. Kumar, who had been so kind and helpful, always giving him advice on how to play different kinds of bowling. Mr. Kumar had been a state player once and had scored a century in a match against Tanzania. Now he was too old for first-class cricket, but he liked encouraging young players and he thought Ranji would make a good cricketer. "What's the trouble?" he asked as Ranji stepped into the shop. "Lost the game today?" Ranji felt better as soon as he was inside the shop. Mr. Kumar was so friendly. Even the sports goods seemed friendly. The bats and balls and shuttlecocks all seemed to want to be helpful. "We lost the match," said Ranji. "Never mind," said Mr. Kumar. "Where would we be without losers? There wouldn't be any games without them. No cricket, or football, or hockey, or tennis. No carom, or marbles. No sports shop for me. Anyway, how many runs did you make?" "None. I made a big round egg." Mr. Kumar rested his hand on Ranji's shoulder. "Never mind. All good players have a bad day now and then." "But I haven't made a good score in my last three matches," said Ranji. "I'll be dropped from the team if I don't do something in the next game."
"Well, we can't let that happen," mused Mr. Kumar.
Something will have to be done about it. I'm just unlucky, said Ranji. Maybe. But in that case, it's time your luck changed. It's too late now, said Ranji. Nonsense. It's never too late. Now, you just come with me to the back of my shop and I'll see if I can do something about your luck. Puzzled, Ranji followed Mr. Kumar through the curtained partition at the back of the shop. He found himself in a badly lit room stacked to the ceiling with all kinds of old and second-hand sporting goods. Torn football bladders, broken bats, rackets without springs, broken darts, and tattered badminton nets. Mr. Kumar began examining a number of old cricket bats, and after a few minutes he said, "Ah," and picked up one of the bats. Held it out to Ranji. "This is it," he said. "This is the luckiest of all my old bats. This is the bat I made a century with." And he gave it a twirl and started hitting an imaginary ball to all corners of the room. "Of course, it's an old bat, but it hasn't lost any of its magic," said Mr. Kumar, pausing in his stroke-making to recover his breath. He held it out to Ranji again. "Here, take it. I'll lend it to you for the rest of the cricket season. You won't fail with it." Ranji took the bat and gazed at it with awe and delight. "Is it really the bat you made a century with?" he asked. "It is," said Mr. Kumar, "and it may get you 100 runs too." Ranji spent a nervous week waiting for Saturday's match. His school team would be playing a strong side from another town. There was a lot of classwork that week, so Ranji did not get much time to practice with the other boys. As he had no brothers or sisters, he asked Koki, the girl next door, to bowl to him in the garden. Koki bowled quite well, but Ranji liked to hit the ball hard. "Just get used to the bat," he told her, and she soon got tired of chasing the ball all over the garden. At last, Saturday arrived, bright and sunny and just right for cricket. Suraj won the toss for the school and decided to bat first. The opening batsman scored 30 runs without being separated. The visiting fast bowlers couldn't do much. The spin bowlers came on, and immediately there was a change in the game. Two wickets fell in one over. One over, Anika and kids, is a series of six balls. Okay, that's what one over is called. So in the game of cricket, one over has six balls continuously. Two wickets fell in one over, and the score was 33 for two. For two meaning two wickets had fallen, so two people had left the game. Suraj made a few quick runs, then he too got out to one of the spinners caught behind the wicket. The next batsman was clean bowled, 46 for 43, and it was now Ranji's turn to bat. He walked slowly to the wicket. The fielders crowded around him. He took guard and prepared for the first ball. The bowler took a short run, and then the ball was twirling towards Ranji, looking as though it would spin away from his bat as he leaned forward into his stroke. And then a thrill ran through Ranji's arm as he felt the ball meet the springy willow of the bat. Crack! The ball hit firmly with the middle of Ranji's bat, streaked past the helpless bowler, and sped towards the boundary. 4 runs! The bowler was annoyed with the result that his next ball was a loose full toss. Ranji swung it to the onside boundary for another 4 runs. And that was only the beginning. Now Ranji began to play all the strokes he knew. Late cuts, square cuts, straight drives, on drives and off drives. And no, children, I don't know the meaning of all these cuts and square drives and on drives and off drives, because all I'm concerned about is the match at the time and who's playing, particularly if it's India playing the match. So, back again on drives and off drives. The rival captain tried all his bowlers, fast and spin, but none of them could remove Ranji, who sent the fielders scampering all over the field. At the lunch break, he had scored 40. And 20 minutes after lunch, when Suraj closed the innings, Ranji was not out with 58 runs. The rival team was bowled out for a poor score and Ranji's school won the match. On his way home, Ranji stopped at Mr. Kumar's shop to give him the good news. "We won," he said, "and I made 58, my highest score so far. It really is a lucky bat." "I told you so," said Mr. Kumar, giving Ranji a warm handshake. "There'll be bigger scores yet." Ranji went home in high spirits. He was so pleased that he stopped at the Jamna sweet shop and he bought two laddus for Koki. She liked cricket, but she liked laddus even more. Mr. Kumar was right. Ranji's performance that day was just only the beginning of Ranji's success with the bat. In the next game, he scored 40, but then he grew careless and allowed himself to be stumped by the wicketkeeper. The game that followed was a two-day match, and Ranji, who was now batting at number 3, made 45 runs. He hit several boundaries before being caught. In the second innings, when the school team needed only 60 runs for victory, Ranji was batting on 25 when the winning runs were hit. Everyone was pleased with him. His coach, his captain Suraj, and Mr. Kumar. But the lucky bat remained a secret between Ranji and Mr. Kumar. One evening, during an informal game on the Maidan, which is the field, Ranji's friend Bhim slipped while running after the ball and cut his hand on a sharp stone. Ranji took him to a doctor near the clock tower where the wound was washed and bandaged. As it was getting late, he decided to go straight home. Usually he walked, but that evening Ranji caught a bus near the clock tower. When he got home, his mother brought him a cup of tea, and while he was drinking it, Koki walked in. The first thing she said was, "Ranji, where's your bat?" "Oh, I must have left it in the Maidan when Bhim got hurt," said Ranji, starting up and spilling his tea. "I'd better go and get it now, or it'll disappear." "You can fetch it tomorrow," said his mother. "It's getting dark." "I'll take a torch," said Ranji. He was worried about the bat. Without it, his luck might desert him. He hadn't had the patience to wait for a bus and ran all the way to the Maidan. The Maidan was deserted and there was no sign of the bat. Then Ranji remembered that he'd had it with him on the bus after saying goodbye to Bhim at the clock tower. He must have left it on the bus. Ugh. Well, he'd never find it now. The bat was lost forever. And on Saturday, Ranji's school would be playing their last and most important match of the cricket season against a visiting team from Delhi. Next day, he was at Mr. Kumar's shop, looking very sorry for himself. "What's the matter?" asked Mr. Kumar. "I've lost the bat," said Ranji. "Your lucky bat. The one I made all those runs with. I left it on the bus. And the day after tomorrow, we are playing the Delhi school and I'll be out for a duck and we lose our chance of being the school champions." Mr. Kumar looked a little anxious at first. Then he smiled and said, "You can still make all the runs you want." "But I don't have the bat anymore," said Ranji. "Any bat will do," said Mr. Kumar. "What do you mean?" "I mean, It's the batsman and not the bat that matters. Shall I tell you something? That old bat I gave you was no different from any other bat I've used. True, I made lots of runs with it, but I made runs with other bats too. I never depended on a special bat for my runs. A bat has magic only when the batsman has magic. What you needed was confidence, not a bat. And by believing in the bat, you got your confidence back. What's confidence? Asked Ranji. It was a new word for him. Confidence, said Mr. Kumar slowly. Confidence is knowing you are good. And I can be good without the bat? Of course! You have always been good. You are good now. You will be good the day after tomorrow. Remember that. If you do, you'll make the runs. On Saturday, Ranji walked to the wicket with a bat borrowed from Bhim. The school team had lost its first wicket with only 2 runs on the board. Ranji went in at this stage. The Delhi school's opening bowler was sending down some really fast ones. Ranji faced him confidently. The first ball was very fast, but it wasn't a good length. Quick on his feet, Ranji stepped back and pulled it hard to the on boundary. The ball soared over the heads of the fielders and landed with a crash in a crate of cold drink bottles. A 6! Everyone stood up and cheered. It was the start of Ranji's wonderful innings. The match ended in a draw. But Ranji's 75 runs was the talk of the school. On his way home, he bought a dozen laddus, 10 for Koki and 10 for Mr. Kumar. And that is the end of this wonderful, heartwarming, brilliant story that I absolutely adore for its simplicity and its message. That it's all in your mind. We use props sometimes, we use talismans, and we use things that we think might be lucky. Oh, I'm going to use this pen because it was, you know, my, I don't know, granddad's lucky pen, or I'm going to wear these shoes because I won my I won 2 races in them. I mean, it's great to have that as a belief, but the real belief has to be in your own self, in your ability to do something, and in knowing that you can do it. So you have to give it your best, you have to believe in yourself, and you have to be confident in your abilities. And I wish you, Anika, all the confidence in the world. And I wish all of you children that you have confidence and self-belief, and you know that you can do anything. You are capable of doing anything as long as you believe you can. On that note, I'm going to call it a night, and I'm going to wish you all good night. I'm going to wish you sweet dreams. Sleep tight. Don't let the bugs bite. And once again, happy, happy, happy birthday, dearest Anika. Toodles to everyone listening. Bye.